Welcome to a psychodelicious conversation on mental health issues and trends from three local mental health professionals in the greater Lansing area. I'm Michael Stratton, LMSW.
And I'm Morgan Bowen, PMHNP.
And I'm Melissa Black, PMHNP, and we're here to provide you with a deep dive into the human experience of consciousness and beyond.
Our aim is to be educational and entertaining, so just kick back and open your ears and your minds.
This is Melissa Black.
I'm Michael Stratton.
And I'm Morgan Bowen.
And we're talking about paranormal and spirituality and ghosts.
The woo-woo.
The woo-woo of the world.
Yes, the woo of the woo.
I was saying during the break, we were telling stories, and I was remembering Bob Ranger, who taught me how to do hypnosis. And he taught this class that we met, I think there were like 15 or 16 sessions that we would meet for all day, like 10-hour sessions with this group of people. And the first four were on how to do hypnosis. The next four were how to do hypnotherapy. And then the last four were how to do past life regression and removal of entities and all that kind of stuff. And I said to him during one of the breaks, I said, Bob, I don't know if I believe this stuff or not. And he said, it doesn't matter. You're going to learn how to do it. And I have done it.
Yeah.
I have done it several times with people that specifically wanted that kind of a service. I shouldn't say this on the air because I'm going to get calls.
Everybody. I am fascinated. So past life regression, tell us a little bit about that.
He was a big believer in past lives.
I've done it.
And you've done it.
I've done it.
You've regressed?
As a teenager, oh, yes.
Wow. It was Who were you before?
There were several Native American folks, Native folks. Then I also did, it was a regression to find your spirit animal.
Oh.
I remember that one, but there was a spiritual woman that my mom was friends with, and she would have visions while you were in the meditation, and then she would sketch with pastels while you were in a co-meditation.
Hmm.
Again, I was 15. This is what I remember.
Wow.
But often it would match. Now, was that just my imagination?
So wait, you're co-meditating and the person is drawing
both my past lives and my spirit animals in different times.
Yes. And a qualification to the listener, none of us are currently on any drugs.
No.
This is true stuff.
You know what I'm thinking while you guys are talking? This is very East Lansing.
Yeah.
I grew up in Williamston. We did not do these things. You know, whether or not, Melissa's from Lansing, so, but I feel like I grew up in a very, kind of vanilla, I just didn't have the exposure. I had friends that were doing things, but we were just goth kids running around in a, cemetery, and so maybe they did believe stuff, but I was
I was the kid running around the cemetery as well, but, I definitely felt something.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to, denigrate or to at all, because I'm absolutely open to all possibilities in the world.
Yes.
Definitely all possibilities.
Well, I promised to tell a ghost story on the second part here, and here we are. And so I'll tell you. I'm in college. I'm at Aquinas College, and I'm living in a house with a group of guys, and it's a Sunday evening. And Sunday evening at midnight, they always played an album, the whole album. So I always try to stay awake for that. And I'm in my bedroom alone, and there's a digital clock. And it's one of those digital clocks where the numbers would flip over like that. It wasn't digital like the digital clock we see over there. And I'm laying there thinking, I'm going to listen to this album. But I dozed off, and I woke up, and there was a guy standing over me. But he was it was kind of transparent in a way, and he was bald. And as I kind of sat up, he went into the wall, and I was like, okay, I was dreaming. This is unusual. I had a dream while I was awake. That's what I thought. I looked over at the clock that was out of my reach, and it was unplugged, and it said 11:58. I plugged it back in, and the DJ was saying, it's midnight in Grand Rapids. So it had been unplugged 2 minutes before. Now, what the heck?
Huh.
I went through the house. No one else was around. No one else was up. The next day I talked about it. They made fun of me.
I have such a similar ghost story. I'm freaking out as I'm listening to you.
Here's the final thing. That spring, we are in the street. We were right across the street from a church. And we were in the street throwing a football around. And the priest came out and he said, "You guys should come to Mass." And we said, "You know, we can, from our couch, we can see, you know, the doors open up and we're right there in Mass every Sunday with you." And he was laughing and stuff like that. And he says, "Would you like to come to the office?" We came into the office and he said, "Your house was the old, the rectory where the priests used to live. In fact, here's the priest that used to live there." It was a picture of that guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So what the heck?
What the heck?
Yeah.
It was before telling him to go to the light.
It was years before that.
Wow.
But I never.
That is creepy.
I never heard anything about it. Well, and the weird thing was, Morgan, it didn't feel creepy. I mean, it was like, I can't explain this. I guess I saw a ghost. And the other.
But you recognize it when you saw the picture of the. Of the priest. You recognize who was that person.
So I mean, none of these times felt spooky or creepy to me. They just it was like an observation. But you had a similar.
But I don't have the punchline that you had with that one, like, at all. But it, laying in my bed in my parents' house, we moved around a lot, you know, but this was like the place where I ended up living and then graduated from high school from there. So I'm in high school. I have a water bed and I have a digital clock.
Okay.
It was a 1980s, late 70s, early 80s digital clock. And I remember waking up and it's the middle of the night and I look over to my clock and it says 12:12. And my eyes sweep and at the end of my bed, there's kind of this translucent guy standing there. I was also not on drugs. I was not doing anything, not intoxicated. But I remember I closed my eyes. I was like, nope. Like, this is my imagination. This is me just being me.
Right. Yep.
Open my eyes, still there. Did it again. Close my eyes. Nope. Open my eyes, still there. And then dissipated, moved backward into the wall, into the wood paneling.
Was it a recognizable figure?
No, but when I had the spirit guide regressive meditation thing that I had, she was like, "Oh, that's like another form of your like spirit guide. Mm-hmm. This is like your main spirit guide, but it's like a ghost."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying, yes, I believe that. No, I don't. Well, but I had that experience.
Yeah,
and throughout my life, and again, could be my very strong imagination and just empathy, but I will sometimes catch it being 12:12, and I'll get that same feeling in my chest as when I would have those dreams.
Mm. Is that a good feeling or a negative feeling?
It's a spooky feeling.
Okay, so it's neither really. It's just
right.
Okay.
So yours was, you had some fear connected to it, though. I mean, there was a sense of like, this seemed like a scary entity. Or
No. It was just, I can't believe this is happening.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Slash, no one will believe me that this happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, slash, am I making this up? So part of my anxiety throughout life is like.
Right. I would absolutely think I made it up, except for the unplugged clock that was out of my reach. That's the hardcore evidence for me that was like, okay.
Why did he unplug the clock? Why do you think the ghost unplugged?
To mess with me. Oh. to give me, like, I'm real. I'm real.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Why else would he do it?
Lead me back.
Yeah.
Send me to
the
light.
Send me to the light.
I don't want to be here anymore. Purgatory. Well, isn't purgatory a thing for the Catholics?
Oh, yeah.
Does maybe 2 minutes to midnight mean anything?
Yeah.
What does 2 that mean? Minutes to midnight?
Yeah.
Well, that, I mean.
Iron Maiden song, I know that.
Is it an Iron Maiden song?
Yeah, it is.
That's a band that got by me, so I don't know. Do you know the lyrics?
You know,
Can you sing some?
I'm looking them up. I don't think
no,
it is.
No, anything. Don't look it up.
I want to know, but go on. You guys keep talking. I'll look it up.
If my name is in the lyrics.
Well, and I think.
Mike Stratton.
One of the things that came up when I was reading is, you know, having skepticism, like as a person who's, you know, if you're caring for someone, you're holding space for someone, whether it's at work or it's a friend or a family member, like skepticism can be marginalizing if we express that. I think that the difference is like, okay, well, we probably wouldn't express, but some people would. Like,
I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Clinically. And yeah. Especially again in psychiatry, I think it's very,
yeah, I don't think 2 minutes
coming
to midnight.
Out of the
now we're, what you're thinking.
we're looking at the lyrics of 2 minutes to midnight, which look, yeah.
How about 12:12? Is there a song called 12:12?
12:12? I don't know. Rush? No, Rush. I can't.
Well, there's a Rush number song.
I'm trying to remember, isn't it? Rush's 12:12. Wow, we are so this is why you don't let me talk. 21-12.
So I do think that there's a lot of clinicians who, I think of schizotypal personality disorder, which is
our new diagnosis. Yeah.
Which apparently I'm sitting with two schizotypal folks currently. But
what medication would you give us?
Yeah.
Well, there's not a medication for schizotypal, so not much. And actually, I've had, I've worked with folks who would meet criteria for schizotypal, but they've been diagnosed with some type of psychotic disorder, and they have been prescribed medication, like antipsychotic medication, which is probably not really going to do much for, because it's not. So there's with schizotypal personality disorder, it's more magical thinking, kind of very eccentric. I think we can, all in our lives have a few people like that. It's not necessarily harmful or problematic.
Well, the idea of is it distressing?
Kind of odd ducks.
Is it distressing or not? Because
yes.
I definitely knew people on the unit who would be psychotic, who were enjoying what was going on, and were, engaged in a conversation with someone, and it was a lot of fun, like Harvey, the movie Harvey, the Jimmy Stewart's walking with the 6-foot-tall rabbit, and they go to a bar and have fun together.
I've never seen that movie.
You've never seen Harvey?
So
oh, it's so good.
So
it's,
good.
It's really good. It's a play, too.
Have you seen it today?
I do not believe I have. I'm familiar with the premise of it.
Yeah. But a couple of times I've met with people in either hypnosis settings or in therapy, and they will have a sense of an entity. And part of it is that idea of like, is it distressing? Is it not distressing? Mm-hmm. So, for instance, there was somebody in a training who was aware of a presence, and they thought it was very distressing to them. They said, I'm always being observed by this entity. And I just wondered with them. I tried to do a reframe, like, what do you think they want with you? And they said, I don't know, but they're always looking at me. Do you think they're going to harm you? I worried they're going to harm you. Have they ever harmed you? No, they never have. Might they be trying to learn something from you? Or might they be trying to, just giving them a different way to look at it. And it kind of eased them up. Now, I didn't do any follow-up. I don't know if that person still sees that entity or encounters it, but it was something they saw that I couldn't see. They could see it as if it was in the room. So
this is so interesting. I'm thinking of just a couple of people in my client base that I've had over the years that really struggled with that, and just, am I psychotic or do I need to take this medication? And the schizotypal, again, really not a medication, and there's not a medication for that. And so there are people that exist outside of diagnostic categories who are seeking some type of answer. Mm-hmm. And I think most of the time these people, others have ask them, like a family member or somebody has requested that they come in for whatever reason. I don't think that they would typically come in on their own.
I was just wondering about people that I've known that were psychotic, rarely would, if ever, say, do you think I'm crazy? The people I've had that have asked me, do you think I'm crazy, are usually people who have like OCD.
Really anxious.
True. Very anxious and have this recurrent sense of like, I think I'm probably crazy. Mm-hmm.
Fear, something is wrong.
And there's a lot of, so I would say with younger folks, like adolescent sometimes with there's at least a concept of like attention seeking. I see shadowy figures. I've been diagnosed as psychotic. These are things that, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes you'll hear. And, when you'll ask them, tell me more about what these things are and kind of drill down into, you know, what's happening. And a lot of times it's more of this things out of the corner of my eye or shadowy figures. And I never say, well, that didn't happen or, you know, but there's a,
I don't know why that was. Yeah.
I think sometimes there is a desire to differentiate yourself, you know, a uniqueness, to adoption of a sense of a unique identity mm-hmm. that is more interesting to me as a clinician than the content of what they're describing. I guess yeah. I would say that.
Yeah. And I think I see that a lot as well. Well, wanting to have an explanation, wanting to have some sort of something to identify with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And I think that at least from a clinical standpoint, I look at that the same way when I'm assessing, like, is this something we really have to dig into? Like, is this problematic? Mm-hmm. Like, is this, yeah. mm-hmm. does this have negative consequences? Is it harming anyone? Mm-hmm. Like, can we just let them have this space and explore mm-hmm. their feelings about these things?
Or the idea of, for some reason, I was thinking of the sixth sense. I see dead people. Mm-hmm. You know, I will often say I don't believe in ghosts, but I've seen a couple. And the idea of, like, those being really kind of unique situations versus if that was happening to me all the time,
yes.
I would wonder...
Yes.
Am I psychotic?
Yes.
Is what's going on? Mm-hmm. Why mm-hmm. am I seeing dead people all the time? Mm-hmm. That would be bothersome. Now, here's another weird story. The house we live in currently, we understand that a previous owner is buried in the backyard.
Oh, wow. How did you find that out?
Some neighbors told us, two different neighbors, when we said, we're the people who live on that house. And then they said, oh, did you know that so-and-so is buried in the backyard?
Oh, just like it was casual conversation.
Casual. Yeah. We didn't dig it up, so to speak.
Good enough.
But she was cremated, so it's just her ashes.
Oh, okay.
And maybe her ashes were spread. I don't know. I've always felt
than like a skeleton in the backyard.
Yeah, it is.
Not energetically, Morgan.
Oh, okay.
But I've always felt safe in that house. I've never felt spooked by it. I feel
strange happenings.
No, not yet. Okay. No.
Because I have a seasonal. I have. If there's a ghost in the house, like I have never experienced anything like what you and Melissa have kind of outlined. I've never experienced anything, and I really would like to experience
that. Me too.
Because we've been gypped. My belief in it is kind of, I guess. And even in the case of my ghost who seems to have seasonal affective disorder, it isn't anything that convinces me, but the light just turns on every once in a while all by itself.
Oh.
And... Ooh. That for a long time, my partner and I kept kind of thinking the other person was turning it on. I go, I'm not doing anything with it. You're not doing anything with it. So I asked the presence, if you will, to turn it off. And it takes its time, but eventually it did. It started turning it off. So now it comes on. It turns off. It turns on. But not when you directly ask. It just, at some point, it turns on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got, you know, these, I don't know what they're called. They're like little balls that they light up if energy like hits it.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, one of those will go crazy.
Electron impulses, mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. like that.
We got the little
stuff
EMF meter.
Flying around.
Yeah.
So you can take like meter readings and sometimes it does show up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm nowhere near the Wi-Fi that or any electronic equipment. But yeah, sometimes stuff will show up. So
I've been on a couple of ghost tours. One was at the.
So have I.
Yeah, I think it was the Stanley Hotel.
We've all been on
the
ghost
tours. Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. Oh,
I stayed there.
Did you really? That's mm-hmm. where The Shining,
was filmed.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I didn't see anything, and my meter didn't light up.
Yep.
And then we took these pictures, and you were supposed to look for the little bubbles or the, you know.
Spheres.
I'm actually projected to go on two tours. I think over the, it'll be before the month's over. So I'll report back and let you know.
Please, if where are they?
One's going to be in Pittsburgh, and the other one's going to be in Richmond.
Do you specifically go for ghost tours?
I did not. I actually have a wedding to attend in Richmond.
Since you're there.
So we decided we were going to make a little bit of a vacation out of it.
Yeah.
So,
good idea. Good idea. Well, I've got one more story, if I can remember what it was. Oh, God. So right after my divorce, I moved into this condo, and I think there was a presence in that condo. Because I think this lady had probably died in the condo.
You're
anyway,
like a ghost magnet.
Anyway, this
I never knew.
But the TV would turn itself on in the middle of the night.
That would be freaky.
And it was a pretty small condo. You could stand. In fact, if anyone
was
came
like
over,
was it like that poltergeist static?
No.
You know
what I'm talking about? It would be whatever station I've been watching.
That would be bad.
That's it would be like there's a game on. It was a very small condo. You could stand at one point in the hallway and just turn around and see the whole thing. You know, there's the bedroom, there's the bedroom, there's the bathroom, there's the living room. There's a little kitchen off the living room. So it was pretty small. And the TV went on, and I'd have to go out and turn it off, and it's like no one's there, but it would turn on occasionally. It was an old tube television. Anyway, one night, I had it.
Wait. Tube television isn't like you actually had to, like old school where you didn't have a remote or anything?
There was a remote.
Okay, so it wasn't
digital.
Because that would be extremely creepy if it was something without a remote. Okay, so.
It was a flat screen. It wasn't a flat screen. It was one of those that,
The tube. Yeah, I get you. Yep.
So this is the only time I've ever had a dream inside of a dream where I dreamed that the TV went on and I got up to go turn it off, and someone opened the door, and this realtor walked in with a drug addict, and I said, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "This guy's going to be living with you. He's going to stay here." And I said, "He can't stay here. He's got to leave. He's got to go." And she says, "Nope, he's living here now." And she leaves, and I'm like fighting with him, trying to push him out the door. And I woke up, like really worked up, and the TV hadn't turned on. But I'd had a dream that I woke up from a dream. And it was so transparent. It was like, you're going to bring your problems with you. Okay, you've moved, but you're still there. So I don't know how that fits with paranormal. But
Well, the house that we bought, it was 5 years ago this month. And it was the man who was selling the house was like a friend of the family. And it was two spinster sisters, Catholic. The story is so long. I wish I actually knew them or met them or something, but it was Dorothy and Virginia. Dorothy and Virginia lived there for decades by themselves. They did not go out a lot. You walk in my house and it's like, older person, 1960s, mid-century house. It had a whole vibe, but we've repainted the whole thing. I'll find little things in the basement that unearth themselves with things getting shifted around or the cats. Their uncle's name was John. I found one of his what do you call those, the pictures
from the photo booth?
Photo booth, right. And then it was a partial bridge with teeth in a drawer. But every now and then I'll kind of feel this gust and we'll smell the old lady smell. It's still kind of there in the background, but it's suddenly there's a breeze moving past me. And I'm just it's Dorothy and Virginia.
Wafting on by.
But it's not a bad feeling. Yeah. It doesn't give me the feeling in my chest.
I will say that the one other thing about that house that I'm in currently, we're talking about negative feelings versus positive feelings. It was originally my bedroom where that light is located. And there's this little cove area. And it was always really cold in there. And still is, really. But very often in the middle of the night, I was very restless sleeping. And I'm not going to say it was negative feeling, just uneasy, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it. It was just it was so bad that eventually I was I'm putting my bed in the other room. I'm not doing this anymore. And that's been fine. But it's just this one little area of my house.
That's where it's living.
Kind of buried.
A Psycho Delicious conversation is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is no substitute for therapy and should not be treated as such. If you feel a need for real therapy, you should consult your local provider, Google Therapy, or therapist in your area. Check your community mental health or a suicide hotline if you are feeling suicidal.
Mike, Morgan, and Melissa welcome your questions, feedback, or dilemmas. Feel free to send your emails to psych.delish@gmail.com. That's psych.delish@gmail.com.
The views expressed on this podcast are solely the opinions of Mike Stratton, Morgan Bowen, and Melissa Black, and do not reflect the views or opinions of any site broadcasting this podcast. Replication of this podcast without written permission is strictly prohibited.